The development of Prince Charles. Prince Charles was born Charles Philip Arthur George Mountbatten, Windsor, in 1948, the same year that Israel was birthed. In 1969, his mother made him Prince of Wales, and he became a Knight of the Garter. And he's also the Great Master and Principal Knight Grand Cross of the Most Honourable Order of the Bath. Strange names, then. It is the Order of the Bath into which President Ronald Reagan and George Bush were knighted after each left office. Very interesting. Here is a military order, and it is given to presidents of the United States. Fascinating. Why Order of the Bath? Because anciently they used to bathe themselves as a spiritual cleansing. It was of the religious aspect of the order. It had a spiritual connotation. Here the Queen places the crown on the head of Bonnie Prince Charles in 1969 when he became the Prince of Wales. It's interesting that the Prince of Wales coat of arms is not part of the Queen's. So the Prince is a sovereign. He has a throne. He's not waiting for one. He's the Prince of Wales. And he's also the Grand Master of the Order of the Bath. And when he was crowned, this is what Queen Elizabeth II said. These are the words. This dragon, because that's the emblem that they chose for Wales, this dragon gives you your power, your throne, and your own authority. His response to her was, I am now your liege man and worthy of your earthly worship. Liege is an old English word meaning lord. I am now your lord man and worthy of your earthly worship. Now, what does all of this mean? Isn't that interesting? I hope you're interested. Who's the dragon? Did you know that the dragon was the symbol of Rome? It was the symbol of ancient Rome. You'll find it under the ancient Roman bridges. There was always a dragon. And it is part of the Vatican crest. And if you read your book of Revelation in the Bible, then you will see in Revelation chapter 12 that the dragon is a symbol of Satan, but it is also the symbol of Rome, whom Satan used to attack God's people and the Messiah himself. And if you read in Revelation chapter 13, it is the dragon that gives the beast of Revelation 13 his power and great authority. So Satan and Rome, working in unison, have this authority. And the prince, well, who are you subject to, prince? Well, what's in the name? You know, Pope Benedict, they'd made a big deal when they chose his name. Do you remember that? And there was a lot of writing about the importance of the name because the name stands for something. So I'm briefly going to go through this history and then we'll have a short break. Charles I of England. Let's just go through these names. Charles famously engaged in a struggle for power with Parliament over England. Now please look at the date. 1625 to 1649. So here, Rome was firmly in control. They had the crown, they had the power, they controlled the kings of England, and then something terrible happened in history. The Reformation came. And Rome lost that power. Not legally, but by force of power. The Reformation threw Rome out. Do you think Rome was going to relinquish that crown? And so the battle over Britain began. The Reformation came in between, and there were battles and rivers of blood. And Queen Elizabeth I became this powerful Protestant monarch who overshadowed Europe and made the Bible available to the whole world as a consequence of her actions. Prior to her, they murdered the monarchs, and Queen Bloody Mary, Queen Mary, slaughtered the Protestants. And then the Protestants took hold. They were sick to death of all the bloodshed. And Rome tried to get control of the kings. King Charles, famously engaged in a struggle for power with Parliament over England. He was an advocate of the divine right of kings, and many subjects of England feared that he was attempting to gain absolute power. And he wanted to enforce his power. Religious conflict permeated Charles's reign. He married a Catholic princess, Henrietta Maria of France. So he had Catholic connections. Over objections of Parliament and public opinion, he further allied himself with the controversial religious figures, including all of these Catholic-centered prelates. And so the Parliament of England and the Church of England thought he was too close to Roman Catholicism. Charles's later attempt to force religious reform upon Scotland led to the Bishops' Wars. Then he had wars with the Covenanters of Scotland who said, "No, no way will I do this." And eventually, the outcome of the matter was he was executed. So here was the first king who again said, "Let's get back to Catholicism. Let's suppress the Protestant churches." He appointed bishops that he wanted in Scotland. The wars came out. It was bloodshed over the country. So here was a Charles who stood up for Catholicism. He paid the price. Cromwell came afterwards. England was ruled by the Puritans and Cromwell. And then came another Charles. Charles II. Charles attempted to introduce religious freedom for Catholics and Protestants and dissenters. But the English Parliament forced him to withdraw it, and in 1679, Totus Aut Revelations supposed the Popish plot sparked the exclusion crisis when it was revealed that Charles's brother and heir was a Roman Catholic. So here was another one who said, "I'm very Catholic inclined." And look what he's wearing. He's wearing the robes of the Order of the Garter. There's the blue sash of the Order of the Garter. Isn't this fascinating history? The exclusion bill sought to exclude the king's brother and heir. And he was Catholic, so they didn't want a Catholic monarch. They said the monarch had to be Protestant. Is Rome going to be happy with that? Certainly not. But here's the interesting story. From popery came the notion of a standing army and arbitrary power. Formerly the crown of Spain, and now France supports the roots of popery amongst us. But lay popery flat and there's an end to arbitrary government and power. It is a chimera, a notion without popery. And that king converted to Catholicism on his deathbed. Fascinating. So here were two Charleses that stood up against Protestantism for Catholicism. The one was executed, the next one became Catholic. I wonder what the third one's going to do. Is he going to follow Tony Blair, perhaps? Nah, I don't think he would go that far. He wants to be defender of the faith. And here is his coat of arms. And this is fascinating. And some people speculate about his coat of arms, because it says at the bottom there in German, although some say it's a perversion of the Welsh, but never mind, it says, "Ich dien," I serve. And there is his special little crown with the three feathers, and it says, "Ich dien." And then there's the red dragon. Could it mean, "I serve the red dragon"? Is that possible? This is the red dragon on the flag of Wales, and some of the paraphernalia that go along with it has the motto "Yedreg Goch Dirian," whatever that means, meaning the red dragon gives the lead. And here it is in its original setting, and Her Majesty the Queen of Elizabeth approved the existing red dragon badge, which was appointed as a royal badge, and it says the red dragon gives the lead. Who's the red dragon? Have you got an idea who he is today? Could it be Rome, and that all of these inner circle Knights Templars have a fascinating role to play? Is this possible? Bonnie Prince Charles and Bonnie Prince Andrew, both Order of the Garter, and Bonnie Prince William as he walks off Order of the Garter. We don't have to read all of this. Here he was inaugurated. And Order of the Bath. Well, interesting. You see, we can get the Order of the Bath. The order consists of the sovereign, the great master, who is the Prince of Wales, three classes of members, knights commanders, titles of the order, etc., 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 etc. And here they are. Here he is in his regalia as Prince of Wales, dressed as the great master of the Order of the Bath and the Queen in her Order of the Bath regalia. And here is Bonnie Prince? Bonnie Ronald. Bonnie Ronald, yes. Bonnie Ronald receiving the Order of the Bath, as did George Bush, and both were knighted to this office. Now you get this for service to the crown. Excuse me, who's the crown? Well, when we come back after a short break, we will get into this history and then we will jump into modern times and we will see where we are going with sustainable development. Are you ready for the rest? Right, let's start. So here we have U.S. presidents who are knighted as Order of the Bath. And it is amazing who the Queen will knight. She will knight rock stars. She will knight people with the weirdest lifestyles that you can imagine. Surely not, you know, world-class role models for this world. Sir Mick Jagger. Sir Paul McCartney. Sir Rod Stewart. Sir Elton John. Wow. Fascinating. Well, there are people that believe, of course, that the United States and Britain play a very important role, and I'll talk about this in a later lecture. There are people like, here we have an interesting example of people who believe in the Davidic covenant and that the throne of David will always be occupied. And so we have this Israel vision that the kings should be able to trace their lineage back to at least David. Now Prince Charles has this wonderful lineage. He traces himself back not only to David but to others as well. And is it possible that the princes of the realm are actually sitting on other thrones as well? And there are people, you know, who go crazy on this conspiracy, and they will bring in all kinds of weird conjectures like reptilians and all of this, and equating the dragon to fallen angels, which is not possible because the Bible says angels don't procreate. So, what do we have here? Fascinating stuff. So, are they descendants from all of these high kings and Zedekiah and all of these? Well, I was fascinated a few years ago when I went to Mormon country. And they are, of course, entrusted with the lineage of people. They have the largest computer-based lineage studies in the world. And there I saw all of these interesting faces all derived from one family. Because they were talking about the present president of the United States. And so you had Joseph Earl and Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement, Emma Hale, Sir Winston Churchill, President Roosevelt, President Nixon, President Gerald Ford, President George Bush Sr., President George Bush Jr., all of them from the same family. That's rather fascinating, isn't it? Well, if you do a little bit of a study on this, and you go to the list, this is the books, Burke Peerage and Baronetage and Burke's Landed Gentry, have for 175 years recorded the genealogies of the UK and Ireland's titled and landed families. And it's fascinating that they list these people as well. Bush, the Bushes, they're closely related to every European monarch, both on and off the throne. Al Gore's family tree includes Charlemagne and three Holy Roman Emperors, and England's Edward I. So shall we call him Bonnie Prince Gore? Are the titles that I have chosen making a little bit more sense now? Bill Clinton was born William Jefferson Blythe, but took his stepfather's name as a teenager. Clinton's ancestry can be traced back on his mother's side to King Henry III, who ruled England from 1227 to 1272. He is descended from King Robert of France. The Bible talks about the kings of this world, and we're thinking, no kings around, it's all democracies. Well, if you do a little study, this is the Wikipedia list, but it's taken from quite good sources, as I can see. These presidents all were royal. And that includes George Washington. He was related to Edward III of England. Thomas Jefferson, Madison, Quincy, all the way down. Good grief, every single one of them. A royalty. Did you know that both the candidates standing in the present election are royal? Both of them? That's rather interesting. So let's have a look at this Honorable Order of the Bath. It is awarded in recognition of conspicuous service to the crown. Now that sounds so innocuous, but who is the crown? We've studied that now. The crown is the Knights Templar's crown, because it was offered there in the temple of the Knights Templars, and it belongs to Rome. So all of these are knights of the Holy Roman Empire, serving as Knights Templars in either the central or the outer or whatever committee. Fascinating. Knighthood and honors, what Americans have been honored by Britain recently. Recent American recipients of honor include former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani. That's interesting. Doesn't he speak in Canada a lot? The newspapers have been quite full of him. And film director Steven Spielberg. I wonder what he's doing to further the kingdom of the Templars. The Knights Commander of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, former Presidents George Bush, Ronald Reagan, Honorary Knights Grand Cross of the Honorable Order of the Bath, Generals Norman Schwarzkopf, Colin Powell, Honorary Knights Commanders of the Most Honorable Order of the Bath, Caspar Weinberger, Honorary Knight Grand Cross of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, the New York Police Commissioner, Bernard Kinnick, etc., etc., etc. Isn't this interesting? Here are all these knights. And a knight is a military man. And who is he fighting for? And what are we doing in Iraq? And what are we doing here? And what are we doing there? Come on. America is a sovereign, independent nation. A free nation that broke the yoke. And it is the finest Protestant nation that has ever existed. And that is true. And this is where the Protestant bastion of the world came to be situated. But let's look at something which could be considered the greatest deception of our times. Here is an article written by Michael Edward about the ecclesiastical commonwealth. The Crown Temple by Rule of Mystery Babylon. The governmental and judicial systems within the United States of America at both federal and local state levels is owned by the Crown, which is a private foreign power. Before jumping to conclusions about the Queen of England or the royal families, Britain owning the USA, this is a different crown and is fully exposed and explained below. So we're not going to go into all this. I can leave this for those who are watching the DVD to pause it and read it for themselves. Now, the legal system, the judiciary of the USA, is controlled by the Crown Temple from the independent and sovereign city of London. In fact, London is the financial hub of the world. It is the city of the Jesuits. Therefore, it is the city of the Templars. The private Federal Reserve System, which issues fiat US federal notes, is financially owned and controlled by the Crown from Switzerland, the home and legal origin of the charters of the United Nations. So the whole of the United Nations is a Crown charter. An International Monetary Fund, the World Trade Organization, and the Bank of International Settlements. It's a real eye-opener to know that the Middle Inn of the Crown Templars has publicly acknowledged that there were at least five Templar bar attorneys under the solemn oath, only to the Crown, who signed what was alleged to be an American Declaration of Independence. Now this is fascinating. This is history. This simply means that both parties to the Declaration Agreement were of the same origin. The Crown Temple. In case you don't understand the importance of this, there is no international agreement or treaty that will ever be honored or will ever have any lawful effect when the same party signs as both the first and the second parties. That's like you selling your house to yourself. The Crown cannot sign on behalf of the Crown to the Crown. That makes no sense. It's merely a worthless piece of paper with no lawful authority when both sides to any agreement are actually the same. In reality, the American Declaration of Independence was nothing more than an internal memo of the Crown Temple made amongst its private members. Americans were fooled into believing that the legal Crown colonies comprised New England were independent nation states, but they never were nor are today. They were and are still colonies of the Crown Temple through letters, patent, and charters. All of these names are important. Who have no legal authority to be independent from the rule and order of the Crown Temple. Fascinating stuff. So it appears as if there is independence, and really there is none. They're all dependent and subject to the Crown. But not the Crown of Britain, because Britain doesn't own the Crown. A legal state is a Crown Temple colony. To have this declaration recognized by international treaty and law, and in order to establish new legal Crown entity of the incorporated United States, Middle Templar, King George III agreed to the Treaty of Paris, September the 3rd, 1783, between the Crown of Great Britain and the said United States. Doesn't belong to Great Britain. The Crown of Great Britain legally was then and now the Crown Temple. This formally gave the international recognition to the corporate United States, the new Crown States. So, very interesting. Most important is to be known who the actual signatories of the Treaty of Paris were. Take particular note to the abbreviation Esquire, following their names, as this legally signifies officers of the King's Court, which we now know were Templar courts, or Crown courts. The Crown was represented in signature by David Hartley, Esquire. Now, an esquire is a shield bearer for a knight. So he's acting on behalf of a knight, an esquire, the shield bearer of a knight. A Middle Templar of the King's Court representing the United States, a Crown franchise by signature, was John Adams, Esquire, Benjamin Franklin, Esquire, John Jay, Esquire. So the Crown was transferring regality on loan to the Crown. And since that day, the rule has been by the Crown Templars. And that's why they're all of this family. So what is happening in the world and all these votings and all these things really doesn't mean very much. I don't have to go through the whole history. I think you can understand the legal implications. Might once well call the rule of the world today by many names. You can call it the New World Order if you like. That's what the Bush family favorite is. You can call it the Third Way, as Tony Blair and Bill Clinton called it. You would call it the Illuminates, the Triad, the Triangle, the Trinity, the Masonry, the United Nations, if you like. You can call it the EU. You can call it the US. You can call it whatever you like. They're all crown. Fascinating. Because the Pope created the Order of the Temple Knights, the Grand Wizard of Deception, and established their mighty temple church in the sovereign city of London. It is the Pope and his Roman capitals who control the world. Now, this man seems to know what he's talking about. So the crown, the royals, the church, all the churches in the world, and the nations are subject to Rome. And not subject to the Queen. And the Anglican Church is not subject to the Queen. And when the Pope went and visited, he showed by kneeling at Thomas Becket's place, now I have achieved what this war was all about from the beginning. And so this Queen has had to come dressed in black, the color of a liege, a subservient one, a vassal to the Pope. Here she is with Pope John Paul II, dressed in black. She's the Queen of the Bilderbergers. Here she is, dressed in black. Seems to be her favorite color when she visits the Pope. Huh? Interesting. Here is the Princess of Wales, also dressed in black. Here she is, dressed in black with the Pope. This was the private audience from the Vatican. It's interesting that Diana, the unfulfilled princess, a short phrase from that same panorama interview overlooked by many people, she said, the reason for the surprise interview with the magazine Panorama was they wanted to put me away. I'm not going to go into those details. Let's not go there. So Lord Runcie speaks his mind. When the Pope was there, Runcie was the Archbishop, remember? Archbishop said, I hope I can persuade the church to loosen its strays a bit. And perhaps rock the boat a little. The Christian voice must be loud and clear on the great political issues of the time. Race relations, unemployment, disarmament. We have to swing from worshipping Christ to serving man. Fascinating. Robert Runcie, a liberal Catholic, says this newspaper article, developed Canterbury's quasi-patriarchal role by frequent visits overseas. As the first archbishop to propose an ecumenical primacy for Rome, he welcomed Pope John Paul II on the first ever papal visit to Canterbury Cathedral. Pope, you are the head. Who is he supposed to say is the head? Christ. But even according to their own stature, the Queen is the head. So, Queen, this crown sits lightly upon your head. It is subject only to your obedience to the crown. And here, he said, well, this is like an engagement ring, the official announcement. Let's sign our agreements, Runcie and the Pope. And new Archbishop of Canterbury, show who's boss, kneel, kiss. We all believed the Queen was the crown. She was the defender of the faith. Well, she has a problem now, and so has her son. He has to become pretend defender of faith because Rome has swallowed every religion in her grasp. And the modern Pope and the modern Archbishop of Canterbury, he's really managed to do things. He's really managed to rock the boat. He's opened the floodgates for homosexuality. He's opened the floodgates for all of these issues. And he's strong on Christian-Muslim dialogue. And he says, what we need is a little bit of Sharia law in England. In other words, let's get a little bit of Muslim law into British law. Woo, there was a mighty furor as the Archbishop said something like that. But our Bonnie Prince doesn't seem to mind to put on Muslim regalia. This is fascinating stuff. Now let's go to the royalty in the world and the royalty of the United States. Well, here is Cardinal Egan. And who is he? He is the leading Knight of Malta Cardinal in the United States, and he's always the Bishop of New York. So, the one who has that seat in New York, he is the head of the Knight Maltas in the United States. Who's he subservient to? Well, his Grand Master, and of course to the Pope. Here he is, showing that subservience. Now, who likes to titillate with him? Oh, Hillary. Hillary is with Cardinal Egan. Tony Blair, who has become Catholic, with Cardinal Egan. Well, Prince Bush and Prince Gore are also royal, of course, and titillating with Cardinal Egan. Very solemn, the two of them together. And he doesn't mind shaking the hands of the Templars either, as they take their common oaths. Isn't this interesting stuff? Oh, and there is Bush Senior, and here is Knight of Malta, Giuliani. They're all there, Giuliani, whatever.